Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
All right, it's the second half kickoff here for the morning show, the Tuesday version presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you, and a little Jerry Lee Lewis for Coach Don and Coach D. Good morning. How do you like that?
That's pretty good there, Logan. You coming?
Coming in hot
I'm
today.
I'm bringing the heat literally with the great balls of fire heat, but yeah, we're going to bring it old school for you. Revive an old tradition.
That's right. Getting the music there for Coach, former Georgia head coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. Coach D, good to see you. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm glad to get here before it gets to Alaska in the morning. You were telling me when I walk. David always tells me the weather forecast when I walk in the door. He greets me every morning, and he says it's going to be 45 in the morning tomorrow at the same time. So. We're getting a little bit of
it's weird
chill in the air, but it's going to get up to 70, you said, tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's 70 right now. It's supposed to get 74 today. Tomorrow's going to be about the same temperature, except this time tomorrow's going to be like 45.
Goodness.
Yeah, just
goodness
weird.
Goodness gracious. Great balls of fire.
That's right. That's right. So,
but, just want to congratulate Coach Smart, the team, on a big win in a very difficult
Did they win?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
It's kind of like it was a lot of folks didn't think so.
Just like for some of the fans to go out in their backyard and cut on the sprinklers or take a hose and make it as wet as you can, and then take a ball and put it in a bucket and then see how you can hold it and then throw it. And you know, the wind and the cold and everything just made it very difficult to throw the ball. But I think to really point I want to make here this morning is the week before we basically gift wrapped that game to South Carolina with turnovers, and the only way Kentucky could win is if we gave them field position with a quarterback in there that was a runner that couldn't throw. It was obvious he couldn't throw even if the drive ball. So we had horrendous field position the first half. We played it very close to the vest after we tried to throw early and found out we couldn't. So very smart by what our coaches did, and then we played field position football and took over the game and got the win. But
and Camarda had his best game, right, playing the football.
He shows why Kirby had confidence in him. He's handled him brilliantly as far as the psyche of you know, not throwing him under the bus and challenging him to, you know, by putting him on the bench or anything. The kid was in a little bit of a slump, and a couple of the kicks he had to kick were, you know, ones that were, you know, just trying to do the pooch kick where he's not doing the full kick. So, but I think he's going to be a weapon down the stretch for us if he can continue this. And we got a good punt return but had a stupid penalty that really would have turned the first half around, you know, with that kind of field position. But we ended up being backed up again. But, you know, I think everybody just needs to realize we got a week off here. We got hopefully Cager can get better. I don't know if he's going to be ready or not, but we certainly missed him. But, you know, and I know we'll get Campbell back. We thought we were going to have him the other night, but he had a turf toe, and, you know, you just can't plan on that kind of surface. And, you know, really a good situation to kind of epitomize the turf there was when we tried the quarterback sneak on fourth down. Trey Hill's feet both went backward on the fire out, and he's one of the most powerful guy we've got, and he got no push because he lost traction there. So I think that's one of the reasons why you know, sometimes going east and west a little bit helps you a little bit in short yardage when you can't get traction.
Yeah, and that was what? That was late in the – I guess it was midway through the second quarter there, and that was when our fans were – Dropping the boo birds.
You know, I would say this, that certainly you got every right as a ticket holder to do whatever you want to do. But let's think about the ramifications of that. You got parents in the stands of recruits. You got recruits. And you guys want to get these five-star, four-star recruits. That might be the difference sometime. Who knows? But you don't want to say some things that will come back to haunt you. I know we recruited Jason Campbell out of Mississippi, and we did one of the worst coaching jobs that probably I've ever been involved with in the first half against Auburn in 99. And, you know, they just lit us up. We tried to play man coverage, and we couldn't do it. And Ben Leard just lit us up. And a lot of booing, and I can understand that. But there's also a lot of vitriol in the stands of just really bad language and everything like that. And Mr. Campbell heard it. And the next morning, he just presented that to me. He said, Coach, he said, I really like this place. He said, but how can your fans talk like that about the players, the coaches, and all that? And I'm sure you hear that everywhere. I mean, there's going to be some of that. But be real careful about being too overbearing like that, because it can have significant, and the kid ends up going to Auburn. I don't know if we'd have gotten him anyhow. We got David Green, so that was a good trade-off. But I just think that booing is something that's part of the American society. But, you know, to boo the Georgia Bulldogs with their record and what they've got and those kind of conditions, I think it was really, really bad.
You mentioned the condition.
I don't think it. I know it.
Exactly.
I know it.
You mentioned – go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned the conditions. You also brought something up that I'm glad you brought up, because I was going to ask you about it. That field position that the Dogs kept starting off, and Dave and I kind of broke it down possession by possession yesterday. Conditions aside, whether it was a beautiful starry night or the rain, when you're backed up like that, that affects your play calling regardless. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, you got to protect the ball at all costs. And really, you know, we just had such a bad situation the week before when we gift-wrapped it. Let me just ask you this. Could you look up the San Francisco 49ers record for me real quick?
They are undefeated, Coach.
Okay. How many points did they score in the first half against the Redskins the other day?
They scored 0 points.
But they scored nine total.
How many did the Redskins score?
They also scored zero, Coach.
So here's guys that leading the NFL didn't score a point, didn't score a touchdown in the rain or the – and those things happen. I mean, it's just these aren't excuses. It's a reality. You got to do what you can to win. And, you know, our team hasn't really been – as good in certain areas as we want it to be, but there's some reasons. You know, we had three receivers didn't come back. We had to really kind of, you know, piecemeal that. We got a good transfer, and then he got hurt. You know, I just think our quarterback's had a great career. He had one bad game, and we're getting ready to light the Gators up, though, boy.
That's
what I'm
talking
about.
We're going
to light those Gators up. You know, I watched the tape. I mean, they're not going to trade for any players. They got good players, but I watched what the LSU did to them. I watched what Jake did to the same guys last year. I don't know what's going to happen on the score, but I guarantee you, don't be questioning our offense. As long as we continue to run the ball like we did the other night, our passing game will be okay.
Do you feel like, though, with the running game, was just the consistently just running straight ahead? It was basic. I said yesterday it felt like it was just a boxing match where you're just punching the other guy in the ribs.
Yeah, and I think, too, because we were having trouble getting the footing, we tried some outside plays early, and I know I said it's easier to run sometime east and west. But, you know, one missed tackle on the perimeter and it's over with. You saw that the other night. Swift made one guy miss him, and then it was over. He went all the way. So, but a lot of things can happen with the ball, you know, when you're doing some tricky stuff, you know, whether it's running the, you know, sweep to the outside or jet sweep, I mean, where you flip it up in the air. But, you know, I could just sit here all day and talk about all the what-ifs, but I thought our coaches did a really good job of playing the situation, the field position, and the game itself based on our talent versus their talent to get the win.
You know, lost in all of this conversation about the offense was the defense posting another shutout. And Kentucky, now granted, I know with Bowden, they in the weather, they were not going to be a huge threat on offense. But four straight three and outs in the first half. And then LeCount, you know, causing the fumble, and that led to the Herrien touchdown. And that was the only only turnover of the night for either team. But the defense is doing another great job.
Our defense is doing good. Hey, I want to remind the fans, in the second week of the year, what was the score of the Florida-Kentucky game going into the fourth quarter? 20-7, favored Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they had a quarterback, and they had and, of course, Franks was playing till that point, too. And then Trask comes in and gets the win for them. But, you know, Kentucky's got some good players. Their defense has not given up over 30 points in a lot of games over the last two or three years. So, but I'm not here on playing Perry Mason being the defense lawyer for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, I feel good about our team potentially in the SEC. I feel like we got a better defense than LSU, who beat Florida. Our offense is explosive passing game-wise, but we got a better running game than LSU. So, and we definitely got a better running game than Auburn, who played them tight, but they just couldn't make many first downs. So, hey, we got a good week off. We'll put things together and get some of these guys healthy that have missed some time. You know, Schaefer probably going to be out. Maybe Kenley will be back, get her offensive line back intact, and we'll see how it goes.
You mentioned the bye week, which is very, very much needed for this Georgia team.
Before you get on that, did you like Perry Mason or Ironsides better when you're talking about Raymond Burr?
Hey, Raymond Burr was stronger than three rows of wild onions. That guy could come up with some good defense, couldn't he? But I like Ironsides,
too. That was a good one, too.
But I had it built in my memory about Perry Mason, you know. And he was really good, you know. He was a good actor, but he was always had some kind of thing in the back of his mind to come up with it.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you, another one that's good now that I like is Bull. I mean, that guy.
Oh, is that right?
He does a good job picking the juries, and you never know what he's going to do.
My wife's into the
bull. And that's no bull.
That's I know. No bull. Look, I didn't mean to hijack.
No, that's a good
one. Coach mentioned Perry Mason. I was like, wait a minute, I got to get a little Raymond Burr conversation.
I was about to ask you a boring old football question here. So, in your time.
It must be really good. You got it written down.
I got some notes here.
Here we go.
No, you mentioned the bye week. Much needed for Georgia for injuries, just to kind of collect yourself. Russ Tanner on Friday said the same thing. How much that is, how good it is for a player just to kind of get home for a little bit. But when you were here at Georgia, you never got a bye week before Florida. You were always either in Lexington or hosting Kentucky here in Athens. Now that you know what you know all about the cocktail party, how important is it before that specific game to have that bye week as opposed to what it was when you were here?
Well, you know, whatever the schedule is, you got to make the best of it, Logan. So I think in our case, now it's and the fact that Florida has the bye week too. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a kind of different situation this year with two bye weeks, but you know, you talk about what you do, but the main thing I think for the players is just to get a chance to get away from the routine of just knocking it out day after day. And our players have to go against really good competition every day. I mean, our offense versus defense is, you know, similar to what they play against the best team. So, and, you know, we got good kids that are family oriented. And you know how you feel when you get to see your mom and daddy and your brothers and sisters. So it's one thing for them to come up here and watch you in a game and see them for a little while or go on a road trip and you see them right before you get on the bus. But it's nothing like getting some home cooking and being around your friends and just kind of get away for a little bit. And for the coaches, it just gives you a tremendous advantage to be able to go out maybe on Thursday after practice, and some of them might leave before practice, and go really hit some recruits that not only for this year but for the future. Mm-hmm. and actually watch them practice and play in games. We get to go watch some games on Friday night some, but I mean, we can really go out to some of these more distant areas and watch these guys. And Kirby's big, just like any coach, he's big on the eyeball test, watching these guys in person. You can watch a tape all you want to, but you like to see how a guy does, and you can see how he acts around the team and how he does with the you know, just treating people and all that. I mean, you don't want a bum coming in here. So you can learn a lot about a kid watching him interact with his other teammates and practice and the games.
Bally, you haven't said anything. I love your quote about bums. We haven't even talked about that this year. Just can't win with bums.
You can't win with bums. I've always believed that. Yeah. Guys that have let you down off the field, on the field. Hey, just remember this. When you go to a reunion, and Logan, you probably have, what's your 10th one now?
I got about 15 now, coming right up on 20.
So the people that were bums in your high school then are going to be bums now. You don't take that out of your DNA.
Absolutely.
If you're lazy, excuse-laden, make excuses and do all that and let your fellow people down and your teammates down, and you're an I guy, then you're probably going to find every reason why you can't be successful and blame it on everybody else. So take ownership, be part of something, and there's nothing like when I talk to a high school team, a little philosophy here, but there's you could walk down the halls and forever and ever, but you couldn't get 11 people to get together in a huddle and have the same view and the same idea about what it's going to take to win as compared to a football huddle where everybody there is in the same group huddled up knowing that you're going to have a goal and everybody's going to do their job and we're all going to make it happen. And that's what's great about playing a team sport like football. It just carries over to the rest of your life because you know how to compete. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But let me tell you this, you show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Because if it doesn't bother you when you get beat, no matter what it is, you just rationalize, well, hey, it's got to chap your butt when you get beat. Whatever the sport is, whatever the grades are, whatever, if you're baking a pie, you better bake the best one you can. So, show me a loser and I'll show you. Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser.
By the way, you
might have philosophy here. Socrates here this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. Socrates. You may not have a muy interesante story about him, but did you ever run into Bum Phillips?
Yeah, I tell you, I met Bum Phillips a couple of times, but I met his son, Wade Phillips, which I'll give you a muy
interesante.
Wade was a pro coach, and he came to Oklahoma because, you know, those coaches, we had so many pro players, they came to work them out and everything, and he wanted to play racquetball. And so we got him some shoes and stuff and everything. We went down there, and he was okay racquetball player, not great. But he got the worst blisters on his feet from those shoes. He could, you know how he kind of shuffles around? He could hardly get back from the gym over there to the field. I said, Wade, you probably should have stopped. He said, I couldn't quit. You know, he said, my dad would have got mad at me or something like that. But he had terrible blisters from those shoes. So every time I see him, I ask him if he's got any good shoes now.
See, I love that stuff.
Hey, Wade Phillips.
Who thought that we were going to get a Wade Phillips blister
Wade
story?
Right now, Wade's doing a heck of a job still coaching. What, he's 73, 74, coaching for the Rams and coaching that defense.
Coach. The Falcons. Coach. Unbelievable.
That's the whole joke.
You
right
heard
there.
Us. They traded it. Sanu this morning, so he's gone. They traded him to the Patriots.
For a defensive coordinator?
I know there's no defensive coordinator that wants that job right now.
They traded him to the Patriots?
Yeah, for a second-round pick.
Let me just tell you this about the Patriots. I really, truly believe, and I usually don't stay up that late on Monday Night Football. I watch it a little bit. I don't listen to it because I don't.
Yeah.
But I watch it. Because I love to watch Brady play, but I really believe, you know, we got that new place downtown, Chuck's Fish, which is pretty good, but used to be the bus station. I really believe that Tom Brady could drive over past the bus station back in the days when it was a bus station and get three guys and they could catch five passes apiece. I mean, some of those guys, I don't even know what school they played for.
No.
Myers and those guys, I mean, and just let me tell you, that Williams guy from the coordinator for the Jets, I mean, he's notorious for blitzes and everything. And, you know, you look at – they showed the injury report for the Patriots last night. Isaiah Wynn, all the way down, all David those guys Andrews. That aren't even playing, and David Andrews, their center. But just incredible the way they can – and there's a great example of a guy that's completely driven in Bill Belichick that just is a driven guy. I mean, he is – and he did something last night, which – did you see at the end of the game where he used that rule where you could run the clock? You know, you only got 40 seconds
right.
that between plays and all. Well, if you take a penalty in the NFL and you decline it and then they go again, the clock can run. So they ended up with a situation where there was the 40-second clock and they took a delay of game and they declined the penalty. And then they had another penalty and they declined that. So he ran off about almost a minute and a half, you know, at the end of the 11 in the fourth quarter, just using a rule that's a lot of people don't even know. And, you know, after the game, he said, yeah, we use it. He said, it's probably a loophole that probably needs to be changed. But if it's a rule, we're going to use it.
That's smart. So he took took a little mercy, I guess.
Yeah, it was a mercy, but it was also.
They were up 33-0. Yeah,
he got mad the last time they played him when they put that kid in from Auburn who threw a pick six. Remember that? Cost everybody the line, and all those people up in Boston got mad at him.
Yep.
No,
I get it.
Yep. Now you say that. Coach is here in the studio with us.
The most funny thing did you see is Robert Kraft trying to give a high five to his son. He misses him half the time.
He looked like he was a little, I don't know.
Been to a spa or something.
Yeah. But they really, told him it was the AFC Championship game.
They say he's
game.
Really, really a good guy as far as, you know, helping people out and being very good on charity and everything. But it just kills me when he tries to give the guy a high five and his son doesn't really know it. And he looks like he's going – and then he doesn't get – he's looking for somebody to hit him.
That's funny. Well, yeah, it when they play, I'm telling you, it's a clinic. It like you said, it doesn't matter who Brady's throwing to or who he's got. It's just a clinic every single game.
And they formation you. They use personnel groupings. I mean, they use three different backs, every one for a different part. Sony is a great power runner. Then they put White in there, and then they got that 38 comes in there and lines up in an empty set and on a wide receiver on a linebacker, and they throw a back shoulder fade to a running back. I mean, just –
it's classic. I mean, it really is. And, all right.
And, you know, thing that's really – too bad for Tom is after the game he's got to go home and see Giselle.
Yeah, this life
who,
is terrible.
Who makes more money than him, by the
way. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's the breadwinner. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Coach Donnan is here in the studio with us. It's 8:28.
Are you lonesome?
Ah, the sweet sounds of the Kings. Little Elvis Presley bringing us back at the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan Dave and Coach D in the studio, as you may have been able to tell. Big Elvis fan, right, Coach?
You got it. Most perfect instrument ever created, Elvis's voice.
It's right up there, man. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nice to have you in as always, like we do on Tuesdays during football season. Glad to have you in here. And I think our ratings take a big spike every Tuesday between 8 and 10 because they know Coach is in studio and good to hear. So always glad to have you. Recapping a little bit as we do the first hour, the Georgia-Kentucky. If you want to call it a debacle, call it a debacle. I'm talking the weather, that is. But, Coach, what's a game or two that stands out to you at any level of coaching that you were in where the rain and the wind and conditions were just awful, whether it be at Georgia or elsewhere?
Well, we played the Citadel down there when I was at Marshall in a complete hurricane, and it was just very bad. And we also played Georgia Southern. Down at Georgia Southern, and I knew Irk Russell from when I coached at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And he was not coaching there. He was working down. I think, I don't know if he's athletic director, but he came by to see me, and we were in this Quonset hut of a visitor's locker room. They got a nice one now, but it wasn't very good. And And I know we'll forget, we had these two girl lady trainers that were standing outside the place, and the rain was just pelting them. And I walked outside and I said, "What are you doing out here?" He said, "Well, you know, we can't go in there. The players are dressing." I said, "Get in here." You know, I told the players to get dressed, but those girls just looked like frazzled. But anyhow, I'll never will forget. And everybody's heard the story about lemons and lemonade. But anyhow, so I walked out there and I said, "Urquhart's going to be bad weather and everything." He said, "Yeah, coach, sometimes you just got to take lemon and make a lemonade out." Make lemonade out of it. I said, we got a good turf here. So just fill the drain. Said, "You'll be all right." And sure enough, it drained pretty good. So we were able to get the win. And
what's a good snow game you coached in?
Well, I coached in the Ice Bowl at Oklahoma against Oklahoma State.
Oof.
Where the supposed to play at 12 at 1 o'clock, but it changed the game for TV to 7 o'clock. And just tremendous ice, you know, the field was slick. Gallagher Iba Arena's where we dressed. So I told Coach Switzer, I said, "Coach, let's just warm up in here and throw, we're not going to throw anyhow, just warm up, stretch and everything and not get cold and go on out there." He said, "That's a good idea." I didn't want to go out there anyhow. So we didn't even go out for warm-ups or anything. Oh, we just, man. When we went out and we beat them, I think, 19 to nothing. But
I like, we're not going to throw anyway, so what does it matter?
So it was terrible, though. You know, slick and, you know, sliding and everything. And that was a bad weather game for sure.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us as the Dogs took out Kentucky on Saturday, 21-0. How good is DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I really think the guy is very special. You know, we've had some great backs here. You go over, going all the way back to Herschel, but this guy has a unique ability to, you know, really doesn't have any weaknesses. You know, he's got great strength, power, quickness, speed, elusiveness. He's tough. He can really avoid guys in space. He's a good pass blocker. He catches a ball tremendously. I think a real testimony to his passing reception was his first year as a true freshman. The first down we had against Florida 3 years ago, we took Sony out and threw the ball to him in the flat for a first down, and that shows you how much confidence Coach Chaney at the time had in him. He's just a baller, and he loves to play, and he's very, very good kid too. I mean, his dad's mom done a good job raising him.
Felt like too, he just kind of took the team on his shoulders Saturday night.
Well, he got the ball, you know, 23, 24 times, and he was able to make things happen. We had some pretty good blocking at the perimeter too. We made a little technical move there in the second half and went to what we call the outside zone, where you got the chance to breaking it back or taking it all the way out. And Werner got some good blocks on the perimeter. And we started, you know, a lot of times when you're playing, and particularly option teams, which we're not, the corner is usually the run support guy, and the safety comes over the top or, you know, is a secondary type guy to support the run. Well, we made a change in our blocking in the second half where we actually cracked on the safety and dared the corner to make the tackle, and they missed a lot of tackles. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good move. I mean, one of them's going to be unblocked. So instead of just trying to, you know, combat the corner right on the, at the point of attack, we did a crackback type style and blocked the safety and said, "Hey, corner, make the tackle," and he couldn't do it.
I think it was Andrew Thomas that said post-game that at halftime, he kind of stood up and said, "Coach, put this on our backs," talking about the offensive line and the run game. And I think Georgia what passed one time in the second half, and that was that fourth down conversion late in the game. So Georgia did what it had to do, and that's run the damn ball.
Yeah, they did, and it really, it's hard to throw it anyhow. I mean, it's easy to say, "Hey, put it on their back." But, you know, the biggest thing for us was, you know, field position. We did what we had to. We took advantage of a turnover and stuck it in for a touchdown. And realistically, it was one of those wins where, you know, 21-0 before the game, everybody would say that's okay, but after the game, everybody's a little disappointed because you just didn't run up and down the field. But you know, and the field, looked a lot better than it actually was. I mean, our field drains good and everything, but it was slick out there.
I can't ever remember a game where it rained from start to finish. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't a monsoon, and it wasn't.
We played Texas Tech my first year. It rained.
Did it rain the whole game?
I don't know if it did, but it did.
We've had a lot where it started raining.
It didn't rain all day.
Yeah, I mean,
I got up Saturday morning and I said, Nelly. I mean,
Keith Jackson
there. I mean, looks like we're going to have to get some parkas out.
But, yeah.
The other thing was just kind of a biting cold, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you add the wind, and the wind was enough, and everybody said, well, the wind was blowing at South Carolina, Florida, and all that. Hey, not like it was here. And you can't compare game conditions 7 hours difference in the time.
Yeah. I know, and that's the thing. I mean, again, not making excuses about that, but those conditions at noon are different than at night. So it's just, you know, especially when it's been raining all day long.
Not only the conditions themselves, but the amount of rain that happens between 12 and 7. I mean, there's a lot that I don't know how many inches of rain we had, but I hate wind worse than anything in coaching. I mean, you know.
The wind, yeah.
It dictates a lot. Catching a ball, punts, everything. Just makes a lot of difference.
Because, and I'm sure you've seen it too, Dave and I have talked about it yesterday and this morning, that there is a contingent of fans that seem dissatisfied. But the bottom line is it was a nasty game. Georgia won the football game 21-0, and now you have a bye week before Jacksonville. And I ask this, is this a product of 39-year drought frustrations that Georgia have? If we had won that game in January 2018 a couple years ago, are we still complaining about a 21-0
win? No question there. Everybody wants to go to win the big one. And you see it, the chances lessening with that loss to South Carolina. I mean, you look at the amount of undefeated teams at this point and their schedules too. I mean, Ohio State's schedule sets up playing top 10 team in Penn State. If, for instance, Michigan would happen to beat Notre Dame, that's going to help them. They got Wisconsin, who's the top 15. Who would have thought last week, if we would have been sitting in here and all our friends out there like Paul Messer and everybody listens to the show, Lloyd.
My man.
If we listened and we would have said, I guarantee you one thing, Vanderbilt's going to kick Missouri's butt. Illinois is going to come in there and just destroy in the fourth quarter Wisconsin, a team that hadn't given up a touchdown. They're going to be back, and they're going to come back and beat Wisconsin. Come on. Those were two of the most inexplicable wins that I've seen in a long time. And I got to give Lovie Smith credit for one thing. He's got an all-conference beard.
Yes, he does.
To go with that chrome dome he's got up at the top. He's got no hair on his head, but he's got some unbelievable Santa Claus beard. But that was a job saver for him and for Mason. I mean, they got another year out of those two wins.
Yeah, so in the last 2 weeks, we've seen a 25-point dog, a 31-point dog, and a 22-point dog win straight up.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's interesting.
I've never seen – I mean, Vanderbilt's offensive line, I mean, they're doing it with mirrors, and that's just a tremendous win for them. I give them credit. I would have – they could play 100 times, and I would never thought Missouri would lose to them. Of course, I never thought Missouri would lose to Wyoming either.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Coach, switching gears a little bit.
Let's do it.
So Clemson made one of their players ride back with the managers instead of on the plane. Do you think –
I told that guy Booth he should have come to Georgia.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we let our guys ride back on the plane.
Yeah.
No, that was good discipline. I mean, there's nothing – I tell our players there's nobody worth a 15-yard penalty, and there's nobody worth getting ejected, because you not only lose you for that game the first half of the next one, and you just got to show some poise, and that's a hard lesson learned. But what I used to say to people about discipline, if you got a – son or a daughter and he leaves his bicycle out there behind your car and you keep coming out there and pick it up and move it for him, he's going to keep leaving it. You got to make him move it himself. You got to show some discipline. And I think that was a good move by Coach Dabo Swinney. I thought it was good.
Well, do you think Coach Pruitt made his quarterback hitchhike back to Knoxville?
I tell you, that was not good. That was a bad look. I mean, you know, you know, it used to be a lot more acceptable to be more physical with the players. You know, the coaches would grab them and all that. You know, I mean, but you just can't grab a guy's face mask. I mean, and that was obviously he did something he wasn't supposed to, but you got to be careful about the way you the connotation there was not good, and parents see that, and they you know, you got to be careful in that kind of situation. I know one time I got so mad at practice one time at Marshall that I told this kid, he came in there and came in on an extra point. I said, this is dummy, we're just walking through this on the block. I said, I don't want anybody going full speed. Well, he comes in there and knocks our kicker down. And I'm trying to think what to do. I'm trying to think.
Other than punch him in the nose.
I'm really mad. And I said, Johnson, just go up there and sit in the press box. You know, we're on our game field. So he goes up there, and we're about an hour and 45 minutes through practice. And I'm looking over there at the defense, and I don't see Johnson over there. And, you know, I don't really remember my being mad. So I asked the manager, Woody Woodrum. I said, Woody, where's Johnson? He said, Coach, he's still up in the press box. Said, you told him to stay up there till he told him to come back. I said, well, tell him to come on back now. So I forgot about that one.
But that was, I mean, when you have a player like that go rogue, and, I mean, it looked like, I've seen some breakdowns of that play, I mean, they probably would have scored pretty easily there. I mean, does Pruitt, he may not have a choice of what he wants to do with him as far as playing him down the road, yeah. But I mean, how bad is that?
Well, you know, the quarterback's had his second concussion, Maurer.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? But they got a game that's winnable against South Carolina this week. I mean, they got to get things in a row. I mean, they did some good things against Alabama the other night, throwing the ball. They got good receivers. We'll just have to see. But, you know, you just never know. You tell a guy, you coach him and everything. We used to have plays in the wishbone where, you know, triple option where you'd read it.
Yeah.
And then, but the single dive play was 12 to the right, 13 to the left. So you're just going up there and you're going to hand the ball to the fullback.
Right.
And then if you call 14, you're going to read it. And then if you call 18, you're going to fake it and go out there and pitch or keep it, okay? So we got the dive play, predetermined, the read, or the predetermined option. We're playing Clemson in the bowl game down there in Orlando, Citrus Bowl. We got the ball second and one on the one, and we call 12, which is the give.
Yep.
Well, Jamel Holloway fakes it to him and tries to go outside and then reverses his field and comes back and loses 14 yards.
Dope.
I thought Switzer was going to go ballistic, and I almost jumped out of the press box. I mean, all you got to do is hand the ball to the fullback. But for some reason, he pulled it and kept it. And, you know, it wasn't anything that – I mean, and the whole time he's there, he never did that. What made him do that? I guess he'd been at Disney World or something. I don't know what happened. But that's the same kind of thing you're talking about there.
Y'all probably still scored, though, didn't you, on that possession?
No, we didn't. We know that was a – that was not a good possession.
Second and goal with the one, and you get nothing.
We lost a lot. That's
you know, it's funny, too, because we saw Coach Pruitt's reaction to that. I wonder what Coach Chaney was. He was probably doing the same thing up there in the press box.
Yeah. I mean, you can't – I tell you, have you seen some of the press box goings on with Coach Rodriguez going crazy in the press box?
Yes. I saw something a couple of weeks ago.
He's ready to punch a hole in that thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very good coach, very offensive minded, and but he's had some issues over that in the past. But, you know, what can he do up there? I mean, realistically, you want him to do well, but it's just inexplicable sometimes where guys do something. You've told them and told them and told them, but, you know, in the heat of the battle, they do something different.
Well, I can tell you this, over the years, you can hear some of the coaching staffs are way more animated in their press box than others.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
beating on the walls and stuff.
We used to have this one team in the Big Eight that every time they would come, we would play them, they would put newspapers up around their press, all around the glass.
They still do
so
that.
Nobody could see them and everything. And the reason they were taking Polaroids of the still place, which was illegal to do, but they took the Polaroids and they didn't want anybody to see them taking it.
Yeah, it's everybody's trying to get an edge.
You can do the Polaroids and the pro. And the other thing that the pros can do, which I wish we could do in college, you can't use computers on the sideline. But after every series, they go over there and they watch the whole series right where they're lying and with their quarterbacks and everything. They watch the whole thing that just happened to them. Used to be you just have to go over there and draw them up and show them and everything.
Right.
But that's what colleges do. But and I've known colleges in the past that used to film the first quarter back when you had regular film.
Mm-hmm.
They would film the first quarter and then get a guy to develop it and then have somebody watch it before you get in there at halftime, which was illegal as it could be.
It's all get out.
But you had a good chance to see what they were doing.
All right, quick timeout. It's 8:50.
Sorry about the pause.
Sorry. It's worth it because we got Elvis Presley. Coach loves it. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Coach D in the studio with us. Former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. Time to take a trip around the SEC. And we'll do that for sure in the 9 o'clock hour when we're looking ahead to the games coming up this weekend. But, Coach, we kind of hit on just about everything. Does Coach Boom and his AD, Ray Tanner, do they have a beef with the SEC officials this week?
Yeah, that was a terrible call. I mean, you know, everybody knows what a pick is on the goal line. You tell the outside receiver or the slot receiver to, you know, go in there and try to, act like you're trying to block a guy, but really don't block him, but just get in his way, you know, and where he has to run around you. But if you cause a collision with him and actually block him, that's a pick. That's offensive interference, and that was a blatant call there. I mean, the play before that was definitely defensive holding. The guy held the guy and kept him from and intercepted the pass. But the one where he just came in and blocked the guy, that was just so vivid that that's the kind to me that official can't get paid that week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. You got to do something and sit him down or do something because too many lives depend on that. I mean, the coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not life or death. I'm just talking about your livelihood,
right.
Everything.
Absolutely.
You want these guys to make, you're going to miss some judgment calls, but that's not a judgment call. That was just terrible.
I feel like that was the kind of game that's going to make us start seeing like potential penalties get reviewed, and would that be something that the SEC looks
into? It's a
real
fine line. The SEC is trying to be proactive and have all these different things, that the fans can check all the stuff out and online. But I think Steve Shaw is really good official who is now head of officials. He does all he can to coach these guys up. They have seminars. They have to, they really have some stringent things they have to do. And we got the cream of the crop in the SEC, but, you're going to miss some, but you can't miss one like that. I mean, your job on the goal line is to, first of all, check alignment, then check and see if a guy's doing something like that. You're watching for holding and blocking back, and I'm going to get out right now.
You are the man, Coach. We've got a hard break. All right, second hour coming up next. It's 8:57.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.